Welcome to the first edition of The Post Audio, edition 75, January 2026. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to bringing you all of the highlights from the January edition. Welcome to January, Editor's Word by Claudia Bucherovic. This year, for the first time, The Post has released a 2026 calendar. You can find it at our regular drop locations. Stock is limited, so grab one before they're all gone. Don't forget that the Hornsby-Ku-ring-gai Community College have also shared their fabulous range of courses available, featured in the centre of this edition. This includes many new classes ranging from lifestyle to languages and more. Though the beginning of a new year inspires change and fresh starts, what with fitness regime plans and goals to better ourselves, it's important to keep the good parts of our life alive and not to have them get lost in the pursuit of mending all the things we wanted improved. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. The goals we've already achieved are just as valuable as the ones we still want to achieve. Reflecting serves as a nice reminder that we are capable, because look how far we've already come. The January 2026 edition is a solid example of that. Inside you'll find words from familiar columnists and all the things The Post is known for. We feature an article about Epping Pool, information about Australia Day and Lunar New Year celebrations across the North Shore, and news on the HSC results. We have big things planned at The Post for 2026, so be sure to stay around to see what this year has in store. Until the next edition, yours, Claudia. Available now. As seen on the cover of this edition, The Post is proud to present a very first community calendar, a collection designed to be much more than just a schedule planner. It's a genuine piece of wall art. We have collaborated with the Hornsby-Ku-ring-gai Community College to showcase the immense talent within our region. We are pleased to share the original work created by the college's art students, offering a vibrant and diverse collection of styles that celebrates our community's creativity. The calendar features exclusive cover artwork by Steve Panozzo. As an award-winning cartoonist and The Post's very own arts writer, Steve brings his signature wit and artistic flair to the project, making this a true collector's item. A true veteran of the Australian media landscape, Steve is an award-winning cartoonist whose work has appeared in major publications across the country for over 35 years. Make sure you look out for his regular arts column in The Post. Time's up for Epping Station Lifts by Alan Shee, volunteer for Meals on Wheels, Vinnies and the SES. Lifts at Epping Station have become a major headache for commuters and residents, with frequent breakdowns and band-aid solutions undermining accessibility at one of city's busiest transport hubs. Between April 2023 and early 2025, records show that the two lifts on the Beecroft Road pedestrian bridge experienced a combined 74 breakdowns, with four on the western side accounting for 63. In 2024, Epping Station recorded almost 8 million passenger movements, ranking it amongst the top 20 busiest stations on the network. In addition to an average of 22,000 commuter movements each day, local residents also frequently use the lifts to access either side of the railway line. These ongoing faults have left passengers and residents, especially elderly, parents with prams, and people with mobility challenges, either taking a long, circuitous route across Epping Bridge or risking their safety by climbing the long flight of stairs. City of Parramatta Councillor for Epping Ward and former Deputy Lord Mayor Cameron McLean has received numerous inquiries and from residents about the Epping lifts. Mr. McLean said that while this is a state issue and not a council asset, because it affects people's everyday lives, I am more than happy to advocate on their behalf. Over the past year, the state member for Epping and newly appointed Shadow Minister for Finance and Western Sydney, Monica Tudehope, has raised concerns about the Epping Station lifts. Ms. Tudehope said, "I have been fighting alongside residents to get the lifts repaired, but ultimately want to see them replaced. As a temporary measure, Transport for New South Wales has arranged baggage handlers to assist during breakdowns, and at the time of writing, the lifts are still functioning. Baggage handlers remain deployed. Although numerous repairs have been undertaken over the past 3 years, with a recent in November-December, during a breakdown period requiring spare parts to be shipped from overseas, the lifts have actually surpassed their end of life. While lifts commonly have a service life of around 20 to 25 years, high usage and exposure to the elements can reduce their lifespan. These two lifts were first registered in 2005. Time for a replacement. Lunar New Year celebrations. Willoughby City Council welcomes the 2026 Year of the Horse with one of Sydney's largest Lunar New Year celebrations. From 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday the 21st of February and from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday the 22nd of February, Victoria Avenue in Chatswood will host more than 130 food and market stalls. 2 days of full outdoor entertainment, including traditional Asian music and modern pop performances, a lion dance performance on Anderson Street, entertainers throughout Chatswood Mall and near Archer Street, and pony rides, a jumping castle near Charlotte's Lane and a fortune booth offering prizes. The Year of the Horse in the Chinese zodiac signifies energy, freedom, ambition and action. Those born in the Year of the Horse are brave, strong, talented and enthusiastic. Full closure of the Golston Road at Golston Gorge is now in place from January 11 through to February 14th, weather permitting. Motorists will follow a detour route that includes Golston Road, Old Northern Road, New Line Road and Boundary Road, Pennant Hills Road and the Pacific Highway. And motorists are advised to allow an additional 30 minutes of travel time. Transport for New South Wales closed Golston Road on Monday the 28th of February 2022 after heavy rainfall caused landslides and deposited large boulders and soil and trees onto the road. And the road was again closed between July and October 2022 with diversions in place so that they could carry out critical work to rehabilitate and stabilise a number of slippage sites. Upcoming work will involve replacing the Heritage Bridge's timber decking and removing temporary bracing structures. Slope work will involve removing vegetation and loose rocks, installing bolts to stabilise slopes and protect the road, and installing drains at the base of the embankment along the roadside. Before I begin this month's column, I want to acknowledge the profound pain our community is feeling. The anti-Jewish terrorist attack on Bondi Beach was horrific. This was an act of violence driven by hate aimed at Jewish Australians, friends and neighbours who are integral and valued, part of our community here in Bradfield, across Sydney and throughout our nation. Anti-Semitism is pernicious and corrosive. It must be condemned without hesitation and confronted with resolve. I have attended services held by rabbis and senior Jewish leaders in synagogues and across Bradfield as the menorah was lit for Hanukkah. There were moments of light and reflection held in the shadow of the brutal anti-Jewish terrorist attack that struck our country. Here I saw even in the times of darkness, light endures. And it is that light we must hold on to. In Parliament. In Canberra, my push for gas market regulation has paid off. I introduced a private member's motion to clean up our gas market because it makes no sense that people in Japan pay less for Australian gas than we do here. 1 week later, the government announced it will finally act, recognising that the market rules weren't working for Australians or for a credible transition to net zero. I also supported the first major overhaul of national nature laws in 25 years, called for stronger federal leadership on housing, and pushed to ban gambling advertising, on which the government sadly refused to allow a conscience vote. In Bradfield, we've wrapped up the Economic Conversations series, bringing national economic debates home through 4 community forums. More than 500 locals took part, asking the thoughtful questions now captured in my new report, Productivity Unpacked, and you can read it on my website. Other highlights included visiting my alma mater, Kalara High School, to present a flag that presided in the House of Representatives, sharing lunch with the Armenian Relief Committee to celebrate their 10-year anniversary, and speaking at the official opening of the CAS Asquith Residential Aged Care Facility. I'm deeply grateful to represent Bradfield and I look forward to continuing this work together in 2026. But stay safe. Scooter tips from Karis Life. Remember that exhilarating feeling when you first took your mobility scooter out for a spin. The newfound independence, the fresh air on your face, it can be truly liberating. But along with this freedom comes the responsibility to ensure your safety and the safety of others. Here are some key tips to keep your scootering adventures smooth and worry-free. Be weather-wise. Rain can impact your scooter's electronics and make roads slippery. Always check before heading out. Routine checkups are key. While your scooter is a trusted companion, leave major maintenance to the professionals. Replacing parts like tyres and tubes requires expertise to ensure your safety. Battery smarts. Just like your phone, your scooter's battery thrives on regular charging. Shine bright, ride safe. Enhance your visibility. Consider using a safety flag. Reflective gear on your lights and nighttime scootering is best avoided. Planning is your best friend. Discussing accessibility with your local council can help you map out safety and enjoyable routes. Remember, courtesy is key. Pedestrians always have right of way. Sharing the road is about mutual respect and keeping everyone safe. By following these simple tips, you can ensure your mobility scooter remains your key to independence and exploration. If you have any questions, reach out to your local Caris Life specialist for a friendly chat. And you can visit their website at www.carislife.com. Community disbelief at Council's Road Safety Plan in Barara. This is an opinion piece submitted by Karen Force, a resident of Anembo Road in Barara. Local residents are up in arms about a council plan to narrow a frequently used road in Barara. Hornsby Shire Council is preparing to curb and gutter Anembo Road. But in doing so, Council plans to narrow the road from 11 metres down to 9 metres. And that means when cars come through parked on both sides of the road, only one lane would be left for traffic to get through. Council is claiming that by narrowing the road, it will make it safer to use, a concept refuted by over 150 locals that have so far signed a petition against narrowing the road. As a thorough connector road, Anembo Road takes the pressure off Barara Waters Road, the Pacific Highway. Yet Council says it wants to use the road narrowing to push more traffic up through to the Pacific Highway. During a medical emergency in the week before Christmas 2025, multiple ambulances and police cars converged on the corner of Anembo and Yalambi Roads. Cars turning into Anembo Road from Yalambi Road had to drive along the wrong side of Anembo Road to pass through. At 9 metres wide, the road transit would have been significantly compromised and potentially blocked. Barara residents already have to suffer the inconvenience of a narrow Crowley Road. Some residents have to park on the council verge if they want to avoid potentially getting their side mirrors damaged or their cars scratched. Recently, the installation of the MBM in Crowley Road brought the road to a complete standstill. With more and more cars entering from either end, drivers were stuck in their cars with no way out. Council claims that the streets surrounding Anembo Road are all 9 metres wide. Of the nearby streets, Acacia Road, a quiet dead-end street off Anembo, is about 13 metres curb to curb. Waratah Road is 11 metres wide, as is Yalambi Road. Anembo Road itself is currently 11 metres wide without curb and gutter. So why narrow Anembo Road? Many houses on this road are on the bushfire-prone land, and it's also the bushfire interface. A hot westerly would drive a bushfire in Barara Valley right up into this area. In the event of a bushfire, Yalambi and its linking road to Anembo Road are one of the only two ways out of Barara and Barara Heights. It is dangerous and unacceptable to unnecessarily narrow a street that's so important as a bushfire exit road for two whole suburbs. Roadway standards should not be blindly applied to a bushfire interface. Common sense says have as wide a street as possible, especially when the width is already available. Navigating property settlements after separation. By Cecilia Castle from Castle Lawyers at Asquith. Just as entering into marriage or de facto relationship is a pivotal life decision, so are the financial repercussions of relationship breakdown and property settlement after separation. The high cost of engaging lawyers to assist in closing the financial door between separating couples takes on a different perspective when that door is left open, only for the financial disadvantaged party to potentially come knocking years later. Even the most amicable of separations can unravel when there is no legal formality about the division of property between couples after separation. There is no statutory time limit on property settlements for separated married couples that have not divorced. In divorced couples, they have a time limit of 1 year after the divorce date to apply for any adjustment of property without leave of the court. Separated de facto couples have a 2 year limit after separation to apply for an adjustment of property without leave of the court. It is mandatory to endeavour to resolve property settlements prior to applying to the court. This can be done through negotiation between the parties and mediation. Where the parties fail to reach agreement, arbitration is an expedient, cost-effective way of resolving disputes without protracted litigation for property matters only. However, both parties must consent to being referred by the court to arbitration to resolve their dispute. Determination of property settlements through arbitration has the same effect as orders made by the court. Where a party is dissatisfied with the outcome of arbitration, decisions can be appealed for review to the Federal Court Circuit and the Family Court of Australia. North Sydney schools lead statewide HSC rankings by Claudia Bacherovic. Recently released HSC results have revealed the top ranking schools for 2025. For another year, North Sydney Boys High School has ranked first, keeping their place as the top school in the state. Other local North Shore schools landed a spot in the highest ranking list. North Sydney Girls High School ranked 4th, Normanhurst Boys High School ranked 5th, Hornsby Girls High School ranked 8th, Abbotsley ranked 11th, Ravenswood School for Girls ranked 14th, Pymble Ladies College ranked 18th, Roseville College ranked 19th, Knox Grammar School ranked 29th, and Loretto Kirribilli ranked 30th. Congratulations to all. Epping Pool to reopen under $13.5 million interim upgrade as Council weighs in on the long-term future. By Claudia Bucherovic. A short-term fix for Epping Pool has been approved, allowing the centre to reopen for the next 10 years. The City of Parramatta voted in early December to upgrade the facility in a limited capacity. After estimations of the $26 million budget doubling to fully upgrade the centre, Council have resolved to allocate $12 million of state government funds to bring the pool to an operational state while other alternatives are explored. Updating the pool for a temporary reopening will cost around $13.5 million, and since April 2024, the Epping Aquatic Centre has been closed. Reports in 2015 found the pool to be leaking around 15,000 litres of water daily and costing over $300,000 yearly in maintenance. After considering a range of recommendations, Council is moving forward with a detailed feasibility study for a new aquatic centre and indoor recreation facility at either West Epping Park and Cox Park and a community hub at Rawson Street Car Park. Reopening the dense park and the pool is a small win for the community, though it does not meet the overall desires of some residents. Save Epping Pool, a community advocacy group formed to lobby local government to keep the facility at its current location, have been vocal, championing the pool for a decade. Our position has always been that we want the full refurbishment of the pool. It's a 60-year-old structure that has had very little investment but is much loved, said the advocacy group in a social media statement. We want and need this facility as soon as possible and urge the council to shorten the timeline to have it open again by summer 2026. The time for action is now. Partial reopening is slated for 2027 while the City of Parramatta investigates other options for the aquatic future of Epping. New Year, New Home, Are You Market Ready? By Tim Mitchell, founder of Bowtie Buyers Agency. It's January, the holidays are over, and for many Australians, the top New Year's resolution is clear. this is the year we buy a property. While enthusiasm is high, many buyers make the mistake of starting their journey by scrolling through real estate apps every night. While browsing is fun, it's not a strategy. To be successful in a competitive market, you need to be market ready before you attend your first open home. If 2026 is your year to buy, start with this checklist. Number one, secure your finance. Online calculators are a guide, not a guarantee. Before falling in love with a property, speak to a mortgage broker to get formal pre-approval. Knowing your exact budget gives you the confidence to make an offer immediately when the right home appears. Number two, define your brief. There is a big difference between what you want and what you need. Write down your non-negotiables like location, number of bedrooms, parking, versus your nice-to-haves. This focus saves you from wasting weekends inspecting unsuitable homes. And number three, assemble your team. Buying property is a team sport. Don't wait until you find a house to find a solicitor or conveyancer. Have them ready to review contracts at short notice. Finally, consider who is in your corner. While the selling agent represents the vendor, a buyer's agent can help you strategize, source off-market properties, and negotiate best price. Preparation prevents disappointment. Let's make this the year you secure your dream home. Tim Mitchell is the principal buyer's agent at Bowtie Buyers Agency. You can contact Tim at 0402 293 933 or tim@bowtiebuyersagency.com.au. Drawing Under Deadlines by Steve Panozzo, award-winning cartoon and caricaturist. It's a fairly well-documented phenomenon that many artists need the pressure of a deadline to generate the peculiar kind of energy that powers inspiration. As viewers of the recent ABC TV series Portrait Artists of the Year will have seen, there is a particular kind of adrenaline-fueled magic that occurs when artists stare down the barrel of a submission deadline. For cartoonists, it's somewhat similar, although inspiration for the cartoon tends to be required on a daily basis, requiring both images and words to gel in a way that makes sense to the reader. It's not uncommon to be staring at a blank sheet of paper, the drawing desk littered with scattered scraps of half-baked ideas and scenarios, with the cliff edge of a looming deadline, and perhaps a spectre of a red-faced editor lurking perilously. Somehow, through a process even unknown to the artists, a work brimming with brilliant insight and rapier-sharp wit often emerges in the nick of time. In the 2020s, many cartoonists prepared their work with the aid of various computer programs such as Adobe, Photoshop, or Procreate. One might think the advent of the computer has made things easier for the cartoonist. Far from it. I have found the computer acts like a time vampire in most cases. A cartoon that feels like it took 30 minutes to create is revealed to have taken over 2 hours to draw. I'm sure people think artists have a stress-free life, but the anxiety of the dreaded daily deadline is the stark reality. As any comedy writer will tell you, being funny is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. If truth be told, we're often the least funny people in the room at parties, and when we're smiling, I'll guarantee it's because we've made our deadlines. The Post ponders, what if my dog only brings me the ball because he thinks I like to throw it? If poison is past its expiry date, is it more poisonous or is it no longer poisonous? 100 years ago, everyone owned a horse and the rich had cars. Today, everyone has cars and only the rich own horses. Do twins ever realise that one of them was unplanned? Which letter is silent in the word sent? Is it the S or the C? Why is the letter W in English called W? Shouldn't it be called double V? Thank you so much for joining me for edition 76, January of The Post. I look forward to bringing you the February edition very soon.